Well, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. And this passage of scripture is called the Parable of the Talents as we go through this series on parables. I'm Scott Thomas, associate pastor here. Pastor Daniel is and his family are away in Fort Lauderdale. They're at a site that has been granted to them very graciously, and they're busy enjoying. He texted me last night. I don't know why. He said, I'm really missing you guys. And so I don't know if something happened and their family decided, I've had too much vacation. I'm ready to come back. But you know that feeling, I'm sure. So take a look at Matthew chapter 25. We'll read that in just a moment as we talk through it. But when I was in high school just a couple of years ago, why do you laugh? We're getting ready for prom. And that's when we would, back then we would say, we dressed to the nines, which means you're it's more than your best. You would rent a tux, typically, and you would have these special events. You remember that, some of you. And we would go out. So this particular tux that I rented had a vest. And it had two pockets right here. And I got the idea, because I'd been around, my mother had a pocket watch that was from her daddy. She called him daddy. And her daddy had died several years ago. And it was all that she had left was this pocket watch that reminded her of her precious daddy who she talked about all the time. Well, I asked her, can I borrow that for a moment, just to go to prom, and I will put it in one pocket, and then there'll be a gold chain that would come to the other one, okay? This is cool, right? I mean, if you've not seen cool till you've seen a pocket watch with a gold chain that connected to the other pocket and pocket. I know that you want to do that now. She said, this is important to me. Do you understand? This was daddy's. That's the only time she used that word. This is daddy's. Like, you got to be really careful with this thing. If you promise me you'll be careful with it, then I'll let you use it. And I never gave it back. No, I did. I mean, I did. But she said, I'll let you keep it. This was, imagine. This is me in high school, a couple of wrinkles less. But this was precious. She handed this gold watch, which I've kept to safe keep. I keep it in a safe. And she handed it to me like it was a gold bullion over $1 million. And she finally said, you get to keep it. By the way, guys, that's why your Levi's, they have this little pocket right here. That's for your pocket watch, okay? Just FYI, you learn something in church. And that's the picture that Jesus presents to us in this parable of the talents, is entrusting to us something precious that we are in charge of and we are responsible for carrying it out in our life. God entrusts each one of you with some gift, time, energy, ability, relationships, influence. He entrusts us with something. All of us have something. And the gospel doesn't just save us. It shapes us. It informs our life. It isn't just our fire insurance, if you will. It is actually our plan for life, how we're to live our life going forward. The gospel will transform everything, no matter what's in your hands, is the question I ask. What is in your hands? And this is the main idea today, that God calls us to faithfully multiply his gifts for his glory as we await his return. So in Matthew 25, starting in the first verse, it talks about the parable of the 10 virgins and the 5 that were ready and the 5 that were not. It was a very saving faith, saving opportunity, and those that go like, oh, we didn't put oil in our lamps. and they turn to the other girls and say, would you give us some oil? And said, well, there won't be enough oil for all of us. Why don't you go to town and get the oil and go buy it and come back? And while they were gone buying it, hadn't prepared, the bridegroom came. And they were left. They were left out. They didn't come prepared. And in this parable, the same way, it's preparing for what you have to serve. There's that preparation for saving, preparation for serving. As we begin to serve our Lord in this way, what is it that you've got in your life? So this is the big idea, back one slide, the big idea that God calls us to faithfully multiply his gifts. We're called to multiply the gifts that he's given to, what's in your hand, whatever's in your hand. He's called to multiply that for his glory as we await for his return or the end of our life. Now let's look at it. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. And I want to look at four reasons why we multiply the gifts that God gives to us. Four reasons why we need to do that. Starting in verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey. And these journeys weren't just he's going to catch a flight somewhere. These journeys were long journeys, months, perhaps even a year long that the master would go on. And so he would need to take care of everything, all that's going on. Man is going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. I want you to notice that. He was turning over and saying, like my mother with that gold watch, I'm entrusting this to your care. I'm entrusting something to you. What is it that you've got in your life? Money, resources, talent, time. What is it that you have in your life? I'm entrusting that to you, and it doesn't belong to you. You need to understand it was his gifts. It was his possessions. It belonged to the master. Didn't just throw it and say, here, do whatever you want with it. But rather, something precious that he's saying, I'm going to give you something, and I want you to take care of it, and I want you to use it for my glory. So he gives his property. To the one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded them and made 5 talents more. So also the one who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But the one who received 1, he went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. We can decide what we want to do. The master is calling us, and the master in this case is the Lord Jesus Christ, who's gone away. He came here as a baby, lived a life, perfect life, sacrificed his life, died on the cross for us, has given to us and extended to us gifts, resources, our life, and said, use it to my glory. I'll return, and when I return, there'll be an accounting for your life. The term is sometimes reckoning. There'll be a reckoning for your life. How did you do what took place? So Jesus starts with this very wealthy man. Talent is a weight. It typically was with coins, gold coins, silver coins, copper coins, and it had this weight. And so a talent was a weight. And it would say that one was given 5 times as much, one's given 2, one's given 1. It didn't matter what they were worth. Some believe that it was worth up to 15 to 20 years of a person's salary, their year's wages. Well, that could be, you know, in our day and age, could be easily $1 million. So to the 1 talent, he gave $1 million. To the one, the other, he gave $2 million. The other, he gave $5 million and said, I'm giving you. So this is something he's given to us. You need to understand what the parable is telling us is that which is given to you is very valuable. I'm entrusting life to you. I'm entrusting time to you. I'm entrusting money to you. I'm entrusting gifts and abilities to you. I'm asking you to use it. There will be an accounting for it. This is valuable. Do you just take it and throw it? Like me, I take this pocket watch and I put it in a safe. That's where it's kept. It's kept in there. I don't get to watch it, look at it, watch it. No pun intended. It's put away because it's safekeeping, because I maybe want to pass that along to a grandchild or such. He's given to you something. What are you to do with it? It's valuable. You've been given an installment right now, perhaps. I haven't given the $1 million or $2 million or $5 million. I've not been given. You don't understand. I work this $20 an hour or whatever. I'm not given a lot. Be faithful where you are now. That's what he's calling you to do, is be faithful where you are right now. In every juncture of life, every status of life, every position, you're like, well, when I get that million, I get the talent passed to me, then I'll be faithful to it. Be faithful that which is little, Jesus said, and he'll give you much. I have just average ability. I've been given some amazing opportunities. You can't hardly name a Christian famous Christian person. You can't name him and I go like, yep, had lunch with him, had dinner with him, sat in the green room with him. I drove J.I. Packer to the airport. I mean, just things of that nature. They're like, I've had opportunities. And the reason is you go like, you don't take everything and go like, well, it's just average, so I'll just give an average effort. You take your average ability and you give an abundance. You give a faithful energy and time and effort towards everything that you do. And that the Lord will entrust you that which is little. He'll give you much. That's what he's calling us to do. God entrusts us with the resources to glorify himself, and he's calling us to be fruitful. It's not about us. It's about him. If you get nothing else and you get this, you won. This right here, the world is not about us, it's about him. Our happiness, it's not about us, it's about glorifying God in all that we do. Our life is about him. We die to self, we live to him. It is all about him. The talents that were there, that were given to these young men, it wasn't theirs, and it wasn't about them. It was him coming back and saying, all right, show me what you've done. Excite me what's happening. And the Lord is bestowing on you things in your life, and he's calling you to do something with it. The first two servants didn't waste any time, did they? Five talent guy says, at once, immediately, he says, immediately he took it and he traded with them and he made 5 talents more. And the one with 2 also made 2 talents more, but the one with 1 hid it in the ground. Whatever you've got, you're not to hide it in the ground or to multiply it for his glory. Whatever it is. And it doesn't matter if it's 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, we're to do it. The 1 talent guy, he was kind of the Eeyore of the group. Well, you know, the Lord is hard, and he's a hard man. He's difficult, and he sows where he doesn't reap. And he's just the Eeyore of the group and doesn't do anything. And you go like, if I have something, I'll do something with it. Don't be Eeyore. We're called to multiply what he's given to us. The talent belonged to the master, not to him. Paraphrasing Tim Keller, he said, the gospel tells us we are not judged by the size of our accomplishments, but by the faithfulness to our gifts. God doesn't compare you to others. He calls you to steward what he's given you. What is it you have in your hands? What is it that's been given to you, that you have in your possession? It could be family, children, husband, wife, friends, other extended family. I have a home. How do I use it for His glory? How do I use my money? How do I use my time? All of it is to be done to His glory and His honor. Faithfulness means taking risks by faith for God's glory. This is what the one talent dude, Eeyore, didn't do. He didn't take risks. And we'll see that in a second here. The gospel frees us from playing it safe. It just says, this belongs to me. God says, this belongs to me. I'm entrusting it to you. Use it now for my glory. A college student in our church approached me and he said, I'd like to lead a small group. He'd never led a small group before. And so he was a little bit afraid. It was people in their 30s and 40s and 50s, and he was barely 20. And he's still in college. And he said, I want to lead a group, but I don't know how. And I said, why don't you come over? We were hosting it. Jeannie and I were hosting it. Why don't you come over an hour before? We'll walk through the text. We'll walk through the process. We'll walk through how to do this. And then during the process, I won't act as if I'm leading at all. You're going to lead. I'm going to participate just as a small group participant. And then he stayed an hour afterwards. We didn't ask him to do that. But he stayed an hour afterwards, and we talked about, we debriefed what took place and what he could have done better and those things. It wasn't a critical thing. He was just like, please tell me. He didn't have the intuition for leading it. He didn't have the knowledge for it. He didn't have anything but the willingness and the desire to both learn, to correct, and to lead this group of 30s, 40s, and 50s that was meeting. Today, this kid is now pastoring a church in Nashville. Why? He didn't waste his time. He didn't wait till he had 10 talents. He didn't wait till he had 5, 2, 1. He just barely had a couple of pieces of change and said, can we multiply this? And God used it over and over again. The second thing we want to understand is we're to use what God's given to us, multiply it, that the master rewards faithfulness. Look at verse 19. We pick it up where we left off. Now, after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. Okay? And by the way, this is a picture, too, of when we stand before the Lord in this judgment of our life. It says he will open up the book of life and see their name. And those that are in the book of life will not face the judgment that those that do not have their names in the book of life. Who are the people in the book of life? What are you talking about? Those are people who have placed their faith and trust by faith, by grace, through Christ alone, and have trusted him for their eternal salvation. There are some who are in churches, I don't know about this one, who go through the motions and are doing it on their own power and authority. No man gets to the Father, Jesus said, except what? Through me. And so it's only through by our faith in Jesus Christ, in his grace, he allows us to enter into that relationship. But those believers who are in the book of life and are passing through are not going to skip judgment. They'll stand before the Lord and he will judge according to your works. And that won't be, these are the bad things you did, but will be a giving of reward to those how you raced. And by the way, side note, this is not going to take place immediately after your death. This happens at the judgment, at the end of this time of grace that we're in. The church age is over. Why? Because our influence and our communication and our giving of others and our ministering to other people continues to reap rewards even after our death. Even after our death. Our giving is not just giving. It continues to go multifold. I have people I'm thinking of right now that have passed away whose life, ministry, influence on me continues to strengthen me, continues to bear fruit. You will have exponential rewards. It happens at the end of the church age when he brings that judgment. And he'll pass out rewards to those and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's go on in the scripture. Verse 20, and he had received 5 talents, came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered them to me, 5 talents. Here I've made 5 talents more. And his master said to him, what? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will make you set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Wow, those are strong words. That was to the one with 5. Let's see what he said to the one with 2. And the one that was given 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more, or 4. He doubled it, the same percentage. And notice what the Lord, the master, said to him. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Same exact commendation reward. See, we don't raise and say, well, they're super Christians. Let's take the J.I. Packer comment that I made earlier. J.I. Packer, who wrote, 48 million books. A godly man. If you've got an ESV, he read every note in the ESV study Bible himself and made comments on it. We can barely find our Bible, and he has read every note that was given to him by these scholars in order to put this together. Brilliant man, very gracious, wonderful accent too, this British accent. And he, are you sure that's the way to the airport? He asked me. Anyway, so we had this, J.I. Packer pours into, gives to, will. I'm not J.I. Packer. I'm not John Stott. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not Mother Teresa. But you're you. And you, we can say these great heroes of the faith, perhaps we're below them, safe to say. Our commendation is no less. We don't have to have superstar status. We don't have to be LeBron James level. We can be lesser, like Michael Jordan or something. I was told to say this. Work it in somehow. We can be at the lowest level, and we still have the same commendation, the same reward. Be faithful with what's been given to you. Now, goes on to the one with 1. He also had received, on verse 24, received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. He's going like, here's your bag. It's all dusty. I'm going to give it to you. And he's, what? What did you do? What did you do? And some of us have done that. Some of us have been hurt by the church. I more. Multiple times. That's not an excuse. See, when Jesus stood, this is my picture, he stood at the altar, and God the Father brings in those who he's called to be saved, and he's walking them down the aisle. That bride is not the beautiful bride that we thought she'd be. Lipstick's all smeared, mascara's jacked up, her veil's torn, flowers wilted, mustard on her dress. The ruffles at the bottom are all dangling. And she's broken one heel, and she's walking down the aisle. And Jesus looks at her and says, "There's my bride. There she is. I love her. She is mine. I'll wash her with the water of the word. I'll make her pure and blameless." That was us. It's also the church. The church is not always a beautiful bride, but she's Christ's bride. She's Christ's bride. And if we love the Lord, we love his bride. And his bride sometimes can be ugly. But we choose to do it anyway. The master comes and says, "All right, you've only given one." He said, "You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed?" He asked the question. "Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, you should at least receive 1% interest. So take the talent that you have and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more and will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." We need to reject unfaithful excuse making, because that's what it is. It's just being unfaithful. He's entrusted to you. Imagine if I took this watch that belonged to Teddy Sullivan. It was my mom's daddy. And I just threw it as high as I could up in the air and let it drop. You say, "Man, that's unfaithful. This was entrusted to you. How could you do that? Give it to somebody else." That's what the Lord did here. "Hey, you want to make excuses? I'm going to give it to someone else. You don't deserve it." And the Lord has entrusted to you. Don't make excuses. Don't reject it. Don't hide it. Don't bury it. The master was not harsh. That's what he said. He's harsh. "I knew you to be a hard man." He wasn't harsh. He was very generous. "Here's $1 million. Go double it. Go multiply it." They're like, "Hard man." He's generous. The Lord is gracious and long-suffering. God is not a harsh taskmaster waiting for you to zap you. "Oh, you said a bad word. Oh, you thought a wrong thought. Oh, you fibbed just a bit." Bzz, bzz, bzz. That's not who God is. He's long-suffering. He gives us the gift of repentance to come back to him. And Jesus fears us from all of those excuses. All of them. We all have them. And none of them are acceptable. The punishment was very severe. It's not an equal where he's going like, "Well, then, if I'm not faithful with what the Lord has given to me as a believer, he's going to throw me into outer darkness." Parables aren't always equal in that way. But he's saying, what your life is like an unbeliever. Because unbelievers, when they've been given a gift, will want to multiply it and use it and be productive. Now, final thing. Christ is the fulfillment of the talents. He is the perfect fulfillment of the talents. Jesus, the perfectly faithful servant, multiplied the Father's mission through his death and resurrection, redeeming countless lives. His faithfulness now covers our failures. We're not perfect. Covers our failures and empowers us to steward what's in our hands, our time, our money, gifts, resources, relationships, influence. He said, I'm going to give it to you. And he's the one who perfectly took it about. This story isn't about what we do with our gifts. This story is about the one who is the greatest one who took what was given to him and multiplied it. He was the first seed in the ground that died. John 12 says, if the seed does not die, it remains alone, non-reproductive. But if it dies, it bears forth much fruit. You hang on to what you have, and it dies. You bury it. I'm dead to self. My life is to live for him. Then he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll make you ruler in eternity over much. That's the commendation we wait to hear. And that's a decision that all of us have to make right now. Do we want to do that? Are we just going to say, I'm going to put it in the ground, not going to use it? Or you say, take your little, your widow's mite, if you will. And Jesus said, when the widow took her two little pieces of pennies and put them in the container, a metal container, you could hear them go clink, clink. And they looked and said, what's with her? And Jesus said, this woman has given more than all of you combined. You gave out of your abundance. She gave of all she had. We today decide we are going to give all we have, all that's been entrusted to us. It's in our hands. We're going to use it for his glory, not for our glory, not for our enjoyment, our pleasure. We use it for him. Now, by the way, when you do that, you'll experience pleasure and happiness and joy like you've never experienced it before. Like you've never experienced before. Parable of the Talents tells us we take what we have and we multiply it for his glory and we receive the reward. Father, we stand in awe of you, in awe of your son Jesus, the faithful servant who multiplied your gifts through his life, death, and resurrection. Thank you for entrusting us with your resources, not because we deserve it, but because of your grace. Forgive us, Lord, of the times when we've buried our talents or let fear hold us back. Fill us with your spirit. Anchor us in the gospel and give us courage to use what's in our hands for your glory and your honor. May our lives point to Jesus Christ, the one who fulfilled all righteousness for us. In the name, precious Son of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.